Ooh, yeah. Get it good.
Biscuits and gravy.
Hello, boys.
What does LP stand for?
Lizard people. Nazi whale margarine pirates.
So far, I've had 7 McRibs.
Bullabuck.
Pol Pot pie.
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Like a slaughterhouse sangria?
Yeah. Wow, we got a feisty little audience here today. You got to dial on into the Truth Network. That's right. This is the Biscuits and Gravy Show. Boop, boop. You got to dial on in to KU88.5 FM, the voice of gravy.
You're on a gravy train with Biscuit Wheel.
Ooh,
we're back.
Baby. We're back, baby.
You're back on the gravy train.
We're back in the ladle again. That's right. Ladling up some gravy, baby. There's so much news. There's so much to talk about. And you and I went to Japan, and we're going to do a little gluttony club.
We had such a great time and ate so much food and such a diverse array of food.
Oh, you know how much I love the word array. Array and various.
As well. And
if
now,
you use the word array and various in writing, I automatically despise your entire being.
Hmm. Well, there's a various array of books that I've read that had that in there, and I don't think they should be discounted.
Boo.
But guess what? The biscuit is right here. Because we're back.
Yeah, baby.
We're back from the land of the rising sun.
We
and
had a hiatus.
We've got so much cool stuff to tell you about our trip, but also there's a lot of wacky stuff going on in the world as well.
Porn stars are dying. That's right. Every time Trump runs for office, the skyrocketing rate of porn stars overwhelms us all.
That's true. However, Emily Willis, remember? She was in a coma.
Yeah.
And everybody was looking to her to see if she was going to wake back up or not.
Mm-hmm.
She woke back up.
Whoa!
So she's still not out of the woods, but she did wake back up. So is that pointing to Biden winning?
That's right. If a porn star sees her shadow, there's 4 more years of Biden.
So if Emily Willis had kicked it, I think that would have been a strong sign that Trump was going to take it. But Emily Willis woke back up. She didn't die. She fought through it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to give this one to Biden. You know, porn stars in comas are like, it's like that that snake that predicts the World Cup winners.
Yeah. Just like that snake.
The one-eyed snake that predicts World Cup winners. Maybe she's God. Remember that in the movie Dogma where God was in a coma?
Dude, if I was God, I would come to Earth as a porn star.
To play skee-ball in New Jersey?
Yep, because all the porn guards go skeet, skeet, skeet.
Ski. It's skee-ball, not skeet-ball.
Oh, I'm playing skeet-ball.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's how you get thrown out of Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, that's it's like Silence of the Lambs. I'm just like skeet-ball.
No.
All right.
Well, this is the Biscuits and Gravy Show. If you're listening to us live on the radio, you're probably listening to us on 88.5 FM KKU, the voice of gravy.
The voice of gravy, nay, the voice of Maui. The voice of freedom,
and
baby.
The voice of biscuit eaters.
Quiet, you sons of biscuit eaters.
Woo.
But
I'm an irate pirate.
If you're at home, maybe you're watching us on TV.
Hey, I got a haircut just for you, Channel 55.
If you have Spectrum and you're watching us, if you're on the Spectrum right now, you're probably seeing us on Channel 55. So that's right. You can catch us live on the 8s and 5s. That's 88.5 FM and Channel 55 on Akaku.
Ooh, baby.
We're on live TV right now, so wave to the folks at home. Hi,
this
guys.
This is the Biscuits and Radio.
This is the one and only Biscuits and Gravy,
only, right?
808 Radio.
Ooh, boy.
So don't forget, you can also follow us on Instagram, Biscuits and Gravy 808. You can follow us on Patreon, Biscuits and Gravy 808. We only have one tier. It's the biscuit tier.
Oh, apropos.
It's only $1. We couldn't rationalize charging people any more than $1.
I want to raise it now that Taco Bell's raising their prices.
Oh, no.
I feel like whatever a
you can't get a half-pound bean burrito for $1 anymore.
No.
So what do we have to make the – how much is the half-pound bean burrito?
It's like $3.86.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's pretty much just beans.
It used to be $1.
It was 89 cents, and then it was 99 cents.
It's on the can, though.
And then it was $1.39.
Remember, Arizona used to have it on the can. Now the Arizona can say like $1.29. So I think it should be one can of Arizona.
I like the taste of Arizona, but I don't think I've ever drinking any Arizona iced tea in the last 11 to 12 years without getting the most violent heartburn.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I used to think I was just getting heartburn from not chewing food or from eating bad foods or because I live most of my life lying on mattresses.
Hmm.
But liquid. There's nothing to chew in Arizona iced tea.
But you sell adjustable bases.
Yeah. But I still lie down on my stomach.
Don't forget to use the adjustable bases, Chuck.
Yes.
I just always have heartburn at all times. And, you know, I'm not going to change my lifestyle.
Have you ever broken a bone?
I have broken a bone.
Have you broken a bone since you started taking calcium supplements via Tums every day?
Oh. Is that what that is?
Yeah, dog. I'm
taking calcium
supplements? That's why I'm so big boned. It's all the calcium.
Let me think. I think I broke my wrist, but I didn't go to the hospital, so I don't know. It's like Schrodinger's broken
wrist.
Yeah, if you don't go to the hospital and get an x-ray, you never really know if you broke it or not. Mm. But as far as I know, I haven't. I haven't had any big spills or tumbles.
Yeah. No spills, no tumbles.
And I mean, I live a somewhat active lifestyle. You know, I've jump off waterfalls and stuff like that, and I go hiking, and I like ride my bike and stuff, but I don't think I've broken any bones since I was a little kid.
I go cave crawling.
I was in eighth grade. Yeah, you're a big spelunker.
I do like spelunking. I'm a big fan of it.
Just don't go cave diving.
Nope.
You like diving and you like caving, but don't go cave diving.
No, that's
a whole other animal. So be careful, you cave divers out there.
Ooh, I saw sharks in a cave this morning. It was really cool.
Oh yeah, sharks in a cave.
Sharks in a cave.
What kind of sharks were they?
They were nurse sharks.
Nurse sharks?
Yeah, but one of them was really a CNA.
Hello. So we, as comedians, are obligated to tell you
That's right, we are comedians.
That there is a open mic on Monday in Paia at Story. Mm. So you can catch a lot of your favorite Maui comedians there.
They do themed open mics, right?
Yes.
So sometimes it's crowd work. Sometimes it's pick a thing out of a hat. Last night, I didn't go to it. We went to D&D and had a much better time. We got too drunk and got nothing accomplished. But the open mic night of Monday night at Story, do you know what its theme was?
What was it?
Heckling.
Oh, that doesn't sound great.
So first of all, they could have just held that at Vibe.
Although it does, yeah. Who headlined? Abra?
I want to go up. Like, you can. This is open mic.
It's an open mic. Well, I was at open mic last night at Vibe.
Yeah.
As well. And there was one part of it where everybody was very well behaved. And then it got a little out of hand when the time that I went up. There was like these two drunk girls that wanted to dance.
Ooh. Of course.
Fortunately, they left.
Oh.
They wanted to come up on stage, and I was like, you can come up here.
I would embrace that. Like, let's switch shirts. Let's have you dance to the rhythm of my jokes.
Yeah, but they didn't want to. They just wanted to be loud in the back, and then they left. Oh. So they left. So that was fun.
Step into the groove. Why don't you prove?
Shaheen had a fantastic set last night.
He's a special man.
He is very special in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. He is.
And so maybe we'll have him on the show again
soon. We got it. I think we're having Rhonda next week and Shaheen the week after.
So Rhonda, we ran into her in Tokyo.
In Tokyo. She's like, meet me by the big Godzilla. And I was like, no way. That's the big Godzilla. We're there.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Not the first escalator. The second escalator by the bigger Godzilla.
I mean, like, this isn't the first time that our trips and Rhonda's trips have sort of coincided. I think we missed each other in Europe by like one day.
Yeah. And then we were about 50 miles away from each other. They were outside of London and we were in London town.
Just
Indian food.
Due to kismet, Rhonda and her party of folks and us.
Are kismet like cicadas? I feel like I don't hear that word for 7-8 years, and then it just pops up and everyone's saying kismet all of a sudden.
I think you're just not hanging around the right people.
Hanging around?
Us kismet folks.
Ah, you're right. I'm never hanging out with enough kismet people.
And so it just so happened that...
How was your Ramadan?
I don't think they're the ones saying kismet. Oh, Corky wants to be on the show again soon, too.
Oh, my God! Corky, we should do a doubleheader.
We love you, Corky.
Yeah, we got to get John Boy on the show.
You're always welcome on the show,
and
Corky.
Someone from Pack Whale to talk about how much whale we ate in Japan.
They are not going to be stoked about that. But yeah, there's an open mic on Monday in Paia. There's an open mic every Tuesday at Vibe.
Tickle Me Tuesday is down at the Triangle, baby.
And you can usually catch us, one of us, there if we're not in Japan.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about what we did in Japan, because I know people are just clamoring to hear our wonderful stories and all the great food that we ate while we were there.
Cheetah the Who. Gluttony Club, baby, is underwritten apart by lovely, community-minded celebrity sponsors like Reggie Watts Light Bulbs. Brighten your day with Watts.
And the Japan wrap-up is going to be provided in part by Jude Law's Colostomy Bags. The law is on your side.
Funny for the Biscuits and Gravy Show. The Truth Network comes from Matthew Broderick's Broderick Shaws. The safest way to be on the road with Matthew Broderick, not available in Ireland.
And also by Helen Hunt's Rifles. Her rifles are as good as it gets. Ooh. We saw actual rickshaws while we were in Japan.
Yeah, and, you know, it didn't look appetizing for anyone involved.
Well, it looked great for the people that were riding in the rickshaws.
No. I didn't even like that view. And there was too many people. They couldn't go anywhere. There was all Rick and no Shaw.
Also, a lot of it was like uphill.
Yeah. Why are the rickshaw people? It should all be
flat. If I owned like a touristy rickshaw business, it would be in the flattest part of the town.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be put in a position where somebody's like, yeah, I'm going up there. I'm like, oh, are you sure you don't want to go down there?
Oh, you want to go to the top of the temple? Why don't you go to the bottom where the food is?
But yeah, I don't know. Like, they're the people who own and operate the rickshaws. They're fine with it, but it kind of feels a little.
Yeah,
I don't know if I want to.
That's a thing. I don't know. Well, in New York, they have the bicyclist people, and they are a hassle on you, man. They like want you to get in their bike.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. You know what I would have paid to do?
Gross Lance Armstrong legs. I hate it.
I would have paid to have them let us borrow the rickshaw so we could take a picture of like you pulling me around in the rickshaw.
Yeah.
Like that would be fun.
Me falling backwards in the rickshaw.
Like I would just want to play with the rickshaw. I don't want to be rickshawed around.
You don't want to be rickshawed around, bro?
No.
Mm.
Well, actually I do. By you.
Yeah, of course.
Not by a Japanese person.
No. I got all the...
Has bad weight. Optics.
I got it, man. I could rickshaw. I could plow a field.
So, what did... let me ask you this. This is a question that was asked by me to
what?
Me
Vincent
a lot.
Cody?
What was your favorite thing that you did on your trip?
Ooh. I liked the restaurant next to our hotel in Kyoto. It was a very different experience going twice.
The second time when you got adopted by some Japanese businessmen.
Yeah, and they don't let you buy them stuff. I thought I was buying them stuff to be nice. And you know how sometimes you eat sake, you drink sake with like your wife, and she doesn't drink as fast as you? I'm sure this happens to everyone out there a lot.
Right.
So you can't pour your own, right? Well, when Japanese businessmen are pouring you sake, woo, baby.
Yeah, you just got to drink it.
Oh, bro. Oh, my God. It was just like evaporating.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Sake goes down smooth, too.
Also, potato salad with chopsticks, amazing.
How was their potato salad?
It was great. Well, they use QP mayo.
So it's richer.
Dude, and the eggs are over there. The eggs are so good.
The eggs in Japan are the best eggs.
One of the ramens I had.
Oh, wait, that's a qualitative statement.
I had two partially cooked eggs. And two raw eggs and a little bit of eggshell.
That was in Osaka, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that we did the whole time that we were there was when we went to Nintendo World.
Ooh.
At Universal Studios in Osaka. We got to go to the Universal Studios, so we got to do the Nintendo World right there in Japan, the birthplace of Nintendo and Mario. And we got to do all the fun Mario rides and all the Mario themed things. I thought it was really cool. They had
the flying dinosaur, dude. Jurassic Park ride.
They had a Jurassic Woo! Park ride in addition to all the other like parts of the theme park that you could go do rides on. That Jurassic Park upside down flying dinosaur roller coaster was fantastic. But right in the Nintendo part of the park, There was so much cool stuff to do. I could have spent the whole time there.
We did spend a good chunk of the day.
We did spend a good chunk of the day. There was a cool thing where they give you this watch, and you connect the watch to your smartphone. And then as you go around and you break blocks and you collect coins, your watch is keeping track of everything.
And there's hidden stuff to do, and there's, like, games all over and missions to accomplish.
Yeah, there's,
and
like, hidden things.
You have to accomplish them and get coins before you get to the next thing.
And there's also – there's games that you can play, and if you beat the game, you get a key – and if you collect all three keys, you can go into the castle and fight Bowser Jr., and they don't let you in there until you get all three of the keys, so it's like an actual Mario game.
And even waiting in line is so fun. Like, you're in his, like, junior room, you know?
Yeah. Like, and ooh. Yeah, and so fighting Bowser Jr. was really cool. And as a longtime Mario fan, that was, like, a dream come true, was going to Nintendo World and seeing all the giant Nintendo stuff.
Ate the weirdest thing in Nintendo World.
Was that the Yoshi egg?
Yeah, so we ate turtle. Now, usually listeners of the Biscuits and Gravy Show would think if I'm eating turtle, I'm eating turtle, right?
Right.
We talked about turtle on the show quite a bit. I like pickled turtle legs. Who doesn't, right? We got this turtle, but it was not a turtle. What was it, Vincent Foti? It was like sourdough on one side, green bread on the other. Looked like a turtle shell. And then inside of it was
cheese. It wasn't turtle.
And soba. It wasn't turtle?
You know, it wasn't actually like Yoshi's egg.
Oh.
It was just made to look like
what?
A Yoshi egg.
What?
Yeah.
Those criminals.
Yeah, but it was like this bread. It was like a little like egg-shaped calzone, but it had like yakisoba noodles inside.
And the stretchiest cheese.
And cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those Japanese, they'll put cheese in all kinds of stuff.
Dude, 10 yen coin is vanilla pancake batter with mozzarella in the middle, and so good.
Yeah, so that was, of all the street foods that we tried, that was probably, I think I would say it was all of our favorite street food.
By far.
And the way they make it, they have this thing that folds over, so they make the pancakes on both sides, and then they put a piece of cheese in the middle, so that when it's all done, it looks like a big, like, pancake version
of the
10 yen coin. No, bigger.
Bigger than a tuna can, you think?
Yeah, I'd say it's the size of like a small pancake.
Okay.
And then
smaller
you,
than a CD, bigger than a tuna can.
Yeah. And,
all right.
And then they put both sides together. It cooks all together. You take it out. You open it up and you stretch it out. And it's got this mozzarella goodness inside of it.
90s pizza commercial stretch cheese.
It's
unbelievable.
It's a delicious cheese stretch. It's so good. And it's everything you've ever wanted.
We went around fish markets where you just point to different fish and they tempura it for you right there on the spot.
Yeah.
So good.
There was all kind of – yeah, we went to a bunch of different like open air markets where you just kind of walk around. You're like, I want that. I want that. Give me some takoyaki. Give me some meat on a stick.
Mm.
There's the street food that we went to. There's a bunch of places that are like very touristy areas. And then when you get done the touristy place doing the thing – then you get to walk through this gauntlet of street food. And so I got
so
a potato
good.
Tornado, which is basically like they take a potato, they
spiralize
like
spiralize it,
Captain. They spiralize, cut it, and then they batter it and fry it right there. So you have this giant like spirally French fry thing on a stick.
Ooh.
That was really good.
Diana got this really good shredded sea cake.
It was an okonomiyaki, which is like a Japanese pancake.
Yes, of course.
Okonomiyaki is a Japanese pancake that has like cabbage on the bottom and also mixed into it. And then it sort of had...
scallions, the sauce they use for eels, and then chunks of fish.
Yeah, it had like an unagi sauce and those little fish flakes that
oh
they put
God.
On top
the
of takoyaki.
They're so trippy, too. They're melting and waving in the wind.
Yeah, those are the bonito flakes.
Ooh.
Anybody that's familiar with bonito flakes knows they're so fun to play with because they heat up and they curl up and they move around. It looks like they're alive, but they're not. We also got takoyaki in multiple places. I think we got takoyaki
so
four different times.
So
I also got some yakisoba at some places, but I think the 10 yen was like we got that multiple times because every time we went somewhere there was like a 10 yen place
and it was different every time. It's not like here where it's the same coconut dusted shrimp everywhere you go. It's aisle 5 at Costco.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same thing, but each person puts their own little spin on it. Like, one lady had a little bit more sugar, and she had a little bit more vanilla extract than hers. So it had, like, a little bit more vanilla flavor. And some people, it's a little bit more savory. But it's all pretty much the same thing. But every single one has that awesome cheese stretch.
Mm.
So if...
Also, croquettes. The croquettes everywhere are so good.
Oh, my God. The, like... Going to, like the Family Mart, which is like a 7-Eleven.
And they have actual 7-Eleven.
Family Marts, and they also have actual 7-Elevens. That is one of the best experiences of Japan.
Some of the fried food in there was good. Like the fried chicken is phenomenal.
Because like every night we would go to either a Family Mart or a 7-Eleven, and we would get one of those little croquette things.
And some whiskey.
And and a little like flask of Suntory, and then just pound that and eat croquettes. There was one croquette that was like filled with mashed potatoes that had like a beef flavor to it. And then there was one that we found on one of our last nights in a 7-Eleven that was like a fried mac and cheese croquette.
Why are there not enough fried mac and cheese croquettes in this world?
And it's not like a 7-Eleven here where you go eat the food and it's just garbage food. Like this is their version of garbage food, but their quality of food is so much higher than ours that like even their bad food is super good.
It's mind blowing.
It's not all like burnt and stale from sitting in the case all day. It's like it was just homemade for you.
$2.80 got you the best egg salad sandwich you've ever had in your life.
Those egg salad sandwiches are good. We got some of those Japanese sandwiches that have like the little, it's like whipped cream and strawberry sandwich.
I had a pancake from 7-Eleven that came, you know, in cellophane, and it was a big fluffy pancake, right? So think like 10 CDs stacked on top of each other.
Right.
And in the middle, they had a jelly maple syrup. Like it was a thick, thick, thick maple syrup.
Right.
And they had a little thing of butter in it too. So you ate it like donut style, but it was a fluffy souffle pancake. It was so good.
They're really into like souffles and like soft buns and stuff. What was that cake? It was like the cheesecake thing.
It was
that
a cheesecake.
Got.
It was the size of a wheel of cheese.
Yeah,
but
but it was like a fluffy cheesecake bread.
It was so jiggly.
It was a cheesecake souffle. Kind
you know what
thing.
Homer Simpson got shot in the bowling ball and they showed it in slow motion? That's what eating that looked like.
You could punch it and you could see the waves ripple.
It was so amazing.
And we're just like eating it with our hands in the train station,
getting scoffed at.
Japanese people are looking at me like this old Japanese guy who was giving me like this dirty look. And I turned around. I was like, "Don't look at me."
Well,
don't look at me manhandle this cheesecake.
We started trying to eat it with chopsticks, and then we just realized we had to grab it like snowballs.
Yeah, that was super good. And the place that we had...
5-5-1 hooray, baby!
So we found this dumpling/gyoza place, and we didn't know, but apparently these guys are like famous.
And they're only in a few locations in train stations.
They're only in train stations. They're only in select locations.
Dim sum's a breakfast food. Did you know this, everybody?
We ran into it by accident the first time. There happened to like not be a very long line. But then the second time we went to it in the other train station, there was people lined up outside the door waiting for it to open.
An hour before it opened up.
Yeah, and so we got in line and we got those. The first time, I just got the regular pork dumplings. But the
Which
second time,
my favorite.
We got the pork dumplings. We also got like a dozen of the little mini shrimp dumplings.
Incredible.
And they had some sort of special of the day that I also, it looked so delicious.
Looked
I had
like
to get
Swedish
it.
Swedish meatballs.
Oh, yeah, they were. They were like Swedish meatballs, but they're in like this sweet Japanese sauce.
And I got a dozen gyoza for 360 yen, which is the equivalent of, I don't know, $2.80.
The first time that I went to Japan, it was almost like a one-to-one exchange rate. But this time, it's everything there is like the yen is only like 66% of the US dollar right now. So everything that we got was like 33% off just by being in Japan. So it was very
being in Hawaii, everything is so heinously outrageous expensive here.
Yeah. So it was definitely culture shock, but it was culture shock and like, oh my God, I can afford things.
We went to a restaurant in Osaka that had a huge crab on the outside, and I wanted to go. And I wanted to go so bad, and we finally translated
the name of
the restaurant.
You're like, look at that house. Look at that crab house. We got to go there.
Yeah, but it didn't translate to crab house.
The translation was crab...
debauchery.
It was crab debauchery.
Debauchery!
Once we found that out, we're like, well, now we have to go.
Yeah.
We can't not go to a place called Crab Debauchery.
But it was so fancy and quiet in there.
It was extremely fancy, and we had to take off our shoes, and multiple people in our group had stinky feet.
We've been doing a lot of hiking and it was wet out.
But you know what? Our feet were under the table. It was okay. We were eating a bunch of crab. We had a debaucherous meal.
So much crab.
And it was,
I ate crab sashimi.
Yeah, we had
raw
we had
crab
sashimi, we had cooked crab, we had crab sake, which the on the menu it said crab sake. It has like a hint of crab.
Hint, notes.
It has notes of crab, and then you get it, and it's a glass of warm sake, and it's got like a roasted crab shell in the glass, like sitting in the sake.
It's like buying tennis balls. The tennis ball takes up most of the room, and the air takes out the rest, right?
Yeah.
Imagine buying it, and it said notes of tennis ball. Like, no. I think the container's just for the crab, and the sake was bonus.
Yeah, it was very crabby, but it was really good. It had like a roasted crab taste to the sake, and I think I was the only one that liked it because I was like, hey, everybody, make sure you save me some. And then it went around the table and it came back and the glass was still completely full. I'm like, all right, well, I guess
they just touched it to their lips.
I think I'm drinking this crab sake.
We had me and Diana liked the mackerel juice at the Kyoto restaurant.
The mackerel juice?
Yeah, it was like hot mackerel tea.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, the mackerel tea.
Mm.
We did at Universal Studios. We also got to go to the Harry Potter place, where we got to ride the Hippogriffo.
Oh, dude,
that was really fun. But
so much fun.
Probably the most ridiculous thing that we saw there was not the Minions ride, where we got turned into Minions, but maybe the Monsters Rock thing that we saw.
Yeah. So Beetlejuice singing disco songs and talking in Japanese, but singing It's Raining Men in English.
They had this show. It was like the Universal Monsters doing like a rock and roll thing. And I guess is Beetlejuice owned by Universal?
I guess.
So I guess he's a Universal monster, but it was also like the Wolfman and Frankenstein and Dracula, you know. But you would think that they would be singing like monster-related songs.
Yeah,
because it was like Universal monster rock show, but no, they were singing like 70s disco songs.
Yeah, YMCA.
They were singing YMCA and It's Raining Men.
ABBA.
So it was very. I was like, they're not going to play like Werewolves of London or the Monster Mash, but no,
it was so unbelievably cheesy.
It was so funny,
dying, dude.
And when I saw that it was going to be a Beetlejuice related musical, I wish that Lauren Boebert was there, because that means we would have all got HJs.
Oh, you didn't?
Not from Diana.
Oh.
I got one from you. Lauren Boebert's in the hospital also.
Oh, is she?
And I can only say that I hope she does not recover. And I wish her only the worst. Remember the day before January 6th, which was, according to my calculations, January 5th?
Oh, look at this guy over here, quite the savant when it comes to calendars.
Like Rain Man with dates.
Yeah.
The day before January 6th, Capitol riots, she was illegally bringing like these rando people into the Capitol and giving them tours of like where all the doors and exits and everything were.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And then also like during the Capitol riots, she was hiding and tweeting out Nancy Pelosi's location on Twitter.
Why would anyone do that? Gam Pelosi.
Yeah, she definitely wasn't directly involved with that and is a traitor to our nation.
Tweeted out where she was.
But you know what? She gave a guy a HJ during the Beetlejuice musical, so all's forgotten.
Smoked a marijuana vape pen.
All that Capitol riot stuff, that's completely fine. But the Beetlejuice stuff, that's what got her put on notice with her voters.
What if, like, the Beetlejuice is their safe word?
maybe it is. But then wouldn't she have stopped?
Like, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
She could have at least stopped blowing vape smoke in the pregnant lady's face. But you know what? Live and learn.
I don't know.
Tokyo, we went to Shibuya Crossing.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Shibuya Crossing is like the Tokyo version of Times Square.
It's too many people.
It's a lot of people.
It's
but you know what? In Times Square, if there was traffic allowed through there, it wouldn't work.
No,
you know,
there's
because
so much stuff that works in Japan that doesn't work here. Like the lack of garbage pails everywhere, but also no homeless people.
People would also, like, if there was traffic allowed through Times Square, people would be running red lights and running people over, and also people would be crossing when they weren't supposed to cross. But in Japan, everything is very orderly. It's like everybody waits for the crossing, for the light to turn. The cars all stop, everybody crosses, and then traffic resumes. It's very orderly.
It's quite the cross they do. It's the big busiest intersection in the world. The world, Vincent Fodi.
The world.
I didn't have enough gravy or biscuits while I was on vacation. I was at work the other day. Spoiler alert, I don't just be famous. And I made myself a cup of gravy. Just in a mug.
When we were in Japan, you're like, the steaks are too thin. I want a big, thick steak, like an American steak.
And then we went to a place called Meat Lodge.
The Meat Lodge.
And we had a steak that was
inedible.
Yeah.
But you know where we had a really great meal? Where we went for my birthday, which was Gompachi. Gompachi is known as the Kill Bill restaurant.
Yeah, dog.
Because that was the restaurant that inspired the scene, the restaurant where in Kill Bill she fights all the crazy 88 people. And there's multiple Gompachis around Japan, but the one that we went to is the original one that was the basis for that scene in Kill Bill. And also, it's the oldest one and the biggest one. And
there happened to be another one in our neighborhood where we were staying in Shibuya, too. It was
delicious. Yeah, so we got to go to Gompachi multiple times. But as a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, I was happy to...
And you got to go on your birthday.
And I got to go on my birthday, which also is Quentin Tarantino's birthday.
What?
Quentin Tarantino and I have the same birthday. And the crazy thing is, in my life, I did not find out that Quentin Tarantino and I had the same birthday until... I had already had multiple like Quentin Tarantino tattoos.
You do have Uma Thurman on your calf.
I do have. It's quite present. I have multiple Quentin Tarantino movie tattoos, and I had been a Tarantino fan for a long time. And then finding out that we had the same birthday was just the icing on the cake.
It's kismet.
I also have the same birthday as my cousin. It was kismet.
Henry's Burgers.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to talk about was we went to a place that was recommended to you multiple times by multiple people called Henry's Burgers. That was in Tokyo.
Tokyo, yep.
And we squeezed it in between like four other meals that we had that day.
Online it said there's only four tables. No, there's five.
There's
chairs,
no tables.
And it's, yeah.
there's one thing that maybe counts as like a bar top, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But we had burgers from there. It did live up to the hype.
Kaepernick.
It did live up to the hype. I was very excited about it. Speaking of Kaepernick, ooh, what? I got something to talk to you about.
All right. So,
but the burger was really great. We got to take our picture with our faces in a big burger.
What made the burger so good?
What made the burger so good was that they were smash burgers.
Yeah, smash burgers, and it was chunky ground Wagyu.
And you get the Maillard reaction when you cook smash burgers.
What's that?
That's a scientific thing that makes burgers tasty.
Oh, yeah?
When you smash them.
It's called Maillard?
It's called the Maillard reaction. Look it up, people. And also, the most bizarre thing happened when we were there. I saw a sticker on the cash register that said, Hey, Fodi?
Yeah, Hey, Fodi.
Which is... F-O-T-I, the way I actually spell my last name, which is not a common name or a common word. It's not something in Japanese. And I tried to Google, Hey, Fodi. It doesn't exist. It's not a thing. So what was that sticker doing there? It was the Japanese Secret Service trying to recruit me.
It was a miracle.
It was a miracle. It was a miracle at Henry's Burgers.
So good. Also, so it had...
It's American-style burgers
killer
with
bun,
Japanese Wagyu.
Really good greasy cheese on it.
Gotta
and then
have
it
that
better
cheese.
Than Thousand Island dressing sauce.
Next time we go back to Tokyo, we're going to go
right
there again. And then we're going to get the monster, which is like eight patties. That looked so good. But we're like, we can't get the monster because we're leaving here and going directly to a sumo restaurant.
Yeah, and then we had also dinner reservations after the sumo dinner reservations.
Wait, was that the night that we went to the whale place?
Yeah, we ate whale!
We did eat whale.
It was succulent and amazing.
It might not be real in Hawaii. But
it's real there.
But it's real there because we ate it.
I was wondering if it was so good, like maybe it was 3D printed.
I don't know. It was pretty darn good. It's very suspicious how good that whale was because it's not fishy. People think, well, it's like it lives in the ocean, so is it fishy? No, it tastes like beef.
Krill, right?
It
tastes like tenderloin.
It was like tenderloin. It was like sea beef,
but not beefy.
It was like sea
umami.
It was like sea fillet, because everything that we had was super tender, especially the whale tail. The tail apparently is the most prized part.
We had three different sashimis. We had it fried. We had it tempura'd. Fried was probably one of my favorite.
Had it fried. We had a steak. And tempura'd, which are two different things.
Yep. And we had bacon, which was not crispy. It was more prosciutto-y, like?
Yes. It was like a whale prosciutto.
Yes.
So we had whale pretty much every way you can get it. We had it in a cutlet.
Yeah.
Like a tempura cutlet with cheese.
They do put cheese in weird things.
We got whale. We got pretty much everything on the menu except the cutlet, which we were thinking about getting, but then we ended up not getting it. And then the guy's like, all right, it's last call. Is there anything else you guys want? We're like, well, what do you recommend that we haven't had? He's like, oh, the cutlet. So we got the cutlet, and it was fantastic.
Ooh.
And everywhere we went, we were just drinking whiskey. Whiskey is super cheap. We went to a place that had dollar highballs. Like, the Japanese love highballs. And I didn't know this, but you told me that Jim Beam is owned by the Suntory.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
And that's not just in Japan. That's like...
worldwide, baby.
Worldwide, Jim Beam is owned by Suntory. And so everywhere you go, they just have cheap highballs. The meat boat place that we went to.
Meat boat. Had, unlimited.
Had all you can drink. We went to a place.
You that, tried getting non-alcoholic drinks, and they're like, nope.
We affectionately called it meat boat because they had something on the menu. It was like a treasure ship, and the little wooden ship was filled up with meats.
Meat boat, baby, yeah.
And so we each got a course that was like a multi-course meal that was supposed to be enough for one person. But in addition to that, we also got the treasure ship of meat and two hamburger steaks.
Which came in that hot bowl style where it's raw and you get to stir it.
The four of us ate enough food for like 10 Japanese people.
And it was $32 a person.
It was so good. We got to try the omi rice omelets while we were
really
there. Mine was fantastic. I got a beef bulgogi omi rice omelet. Oh my God. What an amazing food experience when we went there.
Dude, they perfected everything.
And something that the cool thing about the whale place is like it only sells whale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, we got a bunch of different stuff on the menu and whale. It's like, no, this is the whale restaurant. And we're going to do it every way, and we're going to do it right.
What's wild is we went to the wrong restaurant right before it, and we told them we had reservations, and the woman looked at us and said, no, whale meat upstairs.
She looked at us and was like,
whale meat?
These guys are here for whale.
Yeah.
She's like,
did I give off whale meat vibes?
You do give off whale vibes.
Wow, I guess it's like the face tattoo and spending time with men.
Queeque?
Hey.
Are you Queeque?
I am Queeque.
So that pretty much wraps up our amazing Japanese trip. Any other thoughts? Ooh, the McDonald's.
I didn't eat McDonald's.
You didn't get to go to the McDonald's.
No, I went
to McDonald's twice.
You dirty.
I got a Mega Mac, which is something they only sell in Japan. It's a Big Mac, but there's two patties on the top and two patties on the bottom. And they also sell, just like in Europe, they sell macarons. Do you say macaron or do you say macaroon?
Well, they're two different ones.
They are two different. So macarons can also be called macaroons, but there's also the coconut haystack things.
That's a macaroon.
Is only called a macaroon. So
yeah.
to avoid the confusion between the coconut macaroons and a coconut-flavored macaron, I always refer to the macarons as macarons. And I refer to the coconut ones only as macaroons.
Yeah, the
but
one is
technically,
more like a delicate Oreo.
The French meringue one, you can technically call it a macaroon, but it's a little confusing because
chowder or bisque, baby. It's all delicious soup. Who cares?
Chowder and bisque is not the same thing.
They're
is
so similar, though. They're
okay,
pretty,
but
know.
they're not the same thing.
Yeah, but like, who? Why is it clam chowder? Why is it lobster bisque?
Well, anyway, McDonald's outside of America sells macarons. They were selling with the ones in Paris. Right?
And they were good.
Were they selling them in Barcelona?
Didn't notice. In Barcelona, we had the Doritos, the deep-fried Doritos
stuffed
cheese.
Oh, right. Was it a Dorito stuffed cheese or a cheese-stuffed Dorito?
So it had the Dorito case on it, but it was like a Dorito stuffed with cheese.
Right.
Yeah.
So in Tokyo, I got the Mega Mac, and then I went back the next day, and I got something called the Samurai Mac that had like – it was like a Big Mac – but it had bacon and like this roasted soy sauce on there. Oh man, it was so savory, so delicious.
Mm.
And
That's enough for Gluttony Club.
And then, yeah, so that's our Japanese Gluttony Club, our Japanese version of Gluttony Club. We definitely did the Gluttons Proud.
So much ramen.
So, we went to Ichiran, which was, I like to call it, it's the introvert's ramen house.
It's the best idea ever.
Because you go, you don't have to talk to a waiter or anything. You show up. Love there's it. A vending machine where you type in what you want. It prints you out a bunch of tickets. Then you have a little piece of paper that you fill out how you want your ramen. And then you go and you sit in this little booth with a little window, like almost like you're at a speakeasy, where they slide this window open, they take your tickets, they make your food, they give it to you, and then they close the window shut, and you're in this booth with like walls on both sides, so nobody can
see
you eat.
Partitions, baby.
Yeah, so you're sitting there and you're eating. No one can see you eating.
You have your own faucet if you want to add more water.
You don't have to talk to anybody.
You don't have to share with anybody.
You don't have to share any. You don't have to like share with your wife.
You don't have to wipe your face off in between. You can just dive on in.
You can drink right from the bowl. It's so much fun. It's like this little kind of like secret eating experience.
I got tonkatsu. You got tonkatsu, yeah?
So Ichiran only does tonkatsu.
I got it.
Because there's a lot of places in Japan where they're like
options.
Well, there is a lot of places where you have different options, but something that Japanese are really good at are like, you know what? We do something really well, and we're just going to do that. Like the whale place or like Ichiran, they're like, no, we are famous for our tonkatsu ramen. That's what
all we're
going to
do.
If you want tonkatsu and you want the best, come here.
Oh, so good.
And it was darn good.
Mm-hmm. Kyoto had the other one where it was a whole floor of ramen, right? The 11th floor was the ramen district.
It was like a ramen district.
Yeah.
And you were super hammered.
Yeah, baby.
And we ate at a ramen place that had a bowl of eggs. So let's say you didn't get enough egg in your ramen.
I did order extra eggs to begin with.
Yeah, then you can just grab some eggs and throw them in your ramen.
Raw. Just,
Yeah, I did the little shell thing where you take out just the yolk using the shells.
Yeah, I did the opposite. I just put the whole thing there.
Yeah, it's just like, fire it up, baby.
Crack it in, baby. Drop it on, man.
Well, all right. That's going to wrap up Gluttony Club / the Japan experience wrap up. And I got to say, guys, if you have the chance to go to Japan, highly recommend. It is so choice. If you have the means, go check out the land of the rising sun.
Japan.
They're racist, but they don't let you know that they're racist. It's like here in America, we wear our racism on our sleeves. There, they just silently condemn you and judge you.
And that's
but they're good. Very they're very polite about it, mm-hmm. And everything there is super clean and organized. And
if you're from Hawaii, they like you.
Almost everybody speaks English. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and with the exchange rate, never better time to go be a gaijin.
One final thought: you and I sumo wrestlers in a sumo ring.
We could spend the whole episode just recapping all the fun stuff that we did. But yes, we did get to dress up in sumo costumes and sumo wrestle actual sumo wrestlers.
I tickled them, and I regret sticking my hands in their armpits.
I slapped his butt.
Yeah, and, you did.
And
the look of surprise.
And the crowd went wild. It was very funny.
The crowd went wild.
And then he slapped my butt many times, and then he defeated me.
He did.
He like threw me over his shoulder.
Like a continental soldier.
Yes. So that was great. And we also got to dress up like non-sumo wrestlers. We got to dress up in – our wives dressed up as geishas.
And we dressed up as warriors.
And there's a picture of me almost decapitating you.
There's a picture
with my sword.
Of me doing harakiri.
Yeah.
I have disrespect.
We'll throw those up on the Instagram.
On the Patreon.
So you can follow us there at Biscuits and Gravy 808. On Instagram, you'll see all. We'll post a Biscuits and Gravy exclusive photo montage of all of our fun times in Japan.
But we missed a lot in U.S. news and world news while we were gone, while we were gallivanting.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that we have to cover. I guess the biggest conspiracy thing that we should talk about was the...
We missed Gravy Race. I'm so glad you brought this up.
The Gravy Race, it was a cat gravy race sponsored by the cat food company Shiba.
Uh-huh.
It took place on my birthday, March 27th, because I remember you sent me a link like, hey, did you see this gravy race? I'm like, of course I already know about the gravy race. And it was basically like Shiba has this like gravy cat food, and so they had lines of gravy, and the cats had to race to lick up all the gravy. So it's basically cats doing lines of gravy,
which
to see who could get to the end fastest.
So I'm never licking up enough gravy from surfaces.
You know what? I need to be licking more gravy.
I need to be licking more gravy.
So if you want to see the gravy races, the name of the winner was Venus Two-Face.
Ooh.
It's this cat with like half of his face is red and half is black.
I was going to go like her butt looked like a face, but okay.
No. And so if you want to watch all the contestants in the gravy race, just go to on Instagram and look up Sheba and you can watch all the videos there. Mm. Also, did you see the Baltimore Bridge collapse?
Yeah. And also, did you know if a boat hits something, if a big thing hits another thing, it's not always good?
It falls down.
Yeah.
And so this the Francis Scott Key Bridge fell down. There is a lot of conspiracy.
I didn't know it was the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
All of our smartest people, like Alex Jones and who's that guy who's in jail in Romania?
David Avocado Wilf.
No, Andrew Tate.
Oh.
The two people who
did
know
I called him Taint for like 2 years.
Andrew Taint.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Andre Taint.
Well, they were both like, it's a conspiracy. It's a black swan event. It was a cyber attack. And no, it's just a boat from Singapore malfunction. Could you imagine something from Singapore not working correctly? And so they're like, we looked into it. It wasn't a terrorist attack. It was just a boat that died. Maybe it was made by Boeing because all the power went out. On the boat.
That sounds like a Boeing problem.
Yeah, and that's the exact thing that happened.
Or maybe a pilot quit and was like, you know where I'll be safe from Boeing is on this boat. And he was wrong.
Yeah, there must have been like a Boeing whistleblower on the bridge.
On the bridge.
And like, so Boeing had
Into traffic? Four vans circle them. They get out of the van and dump gasoline over the whistleblower's car.
It wasn't a Boeing whistleblower. It was just six Mexican laborers who were fixing potholes on the bridge. So that was kind of disappointing, but I think that it was either Boeing or I have another conspiracy.
What?
So it was – what bridge was it that collapsed?
Francis Scott Key.
What did Francis Scott Key do?
He wrote a very aggressive national anthem.
And who do we know who you mentioned earlier in the show – hates the national anthem and is always taking a knee or going down during the national anthem?
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick? Where was Colin Kaepernick when the bridge collapsed?
Mm.
We know he hates America, and Francis Scott Key has no respect for the national anthem.
No respect.
Where was Colin Kaepernick when the bridge came down? That's what I want to know. We're asking the important questions here, guys. Was Colin Kaepernick
directly involved in
the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse? We're just asking questions here on the Biscuits and Gravy Show. Also,
and
world peace, a vegan Ben and Jerry's ice cream? That's a crime against humanity in and of itself.
So stupid.
We don't need that. Oh, why don't we do a quick follow-up junction,
It could have been worse. It could have been like caper ice cream or something.
Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah.
He's got a knack for capers.
Yeah.
All right, blow the whistle. We got some follow-up junction to do.
All aboard!
Last week, we had the last time that we did a show, which was like 2 weeks ago.
John Boy was here.
John Boy was here, and we did talk about two different things that we said we were going to have to do follow-ups on. One was the Clintons and Haiti connection.
Always about Clintons and Haiti, guys. This is the important stuff we need to
focus on. Not only have the Clinton Foundation had a long-standing ties with Haiti and doing stuff in Haiti and trying to rebuild Haiti and rebuild their infrastructure and economy.
But really,
but then also
the money doesn't go to where it's
after
to go.
The 2010 earthquake, Bill Clinton got named the head of the Haiti Relief whatever commission.
It's really just a way for him to kidnap children, though, right?
And a lot of people have said, a lot of people in Haiti, Haitians, if you will, have said that maybe all the funding and donations aren't going to a place that's completely helping the Haiti people, and they were supposed to build this place that was going to give them 100,000 jobs. It gave them like 8,000 jobs, and they said it also is benefiting global investors a little bit more than the Haiti people.
Clearly,
so
yeah.
There's a lot of Haiti people that would like to have some words
with
the Clintons.
Hating.
They are Clinton haters in Haiti.
Hating, bro.
And then the other thing with Trump and the modeling agency that he sent Ivanka to. So Trump was friends with this guy named John Casablancas.
Last name was Casablancas?
Casablancas. Not Casablanca. Casablancas. It's multiple Casablancas, right? So he was friends with this guy named John Casablancas, who founded a modeling place called Elite Modeling. Elite Modeling was known for creating the supermodel, the idea of the supermodel, but it was also known for the people who were at the top of the company having sex with 15-year-old girls. And he himself, John Casablancas, got divorced from his wife because he was having an affair with a 15-year-old model who worked at the place. They were also having parties where they would invite these rich business guys over, including Donald Trump, and they would get the 15-year-old models like drunk and kind of pimp them out to the rich business guys so that they could have sex with them. It was very Epstein-y. Also, Donald Trump had been to many of these parties.
Also, when you're 15, you're like a freshman or sophomore.
Donald Trump also was a judge for a lot of the modeling competitions.
Lordy.
He had a long-standing relationship with this modeling industry, and he knew exactly the type of stuff that was going on there. And with all this knowledge,
sent his daughter.
Decided that this would be a great place for his 14-year-old daughter, Ivanka, to go and participate in. So you can tell the kind of respect that Donald Trump had for Ivanka when she was 14.
It sounds, though, that a lot of people that get to this point in life just...
Also, when she was 14...
like to bang kids.
When she was 14, that was when that picture of her sitting on his lap was taken.
Ugh.
And that was also around the same time where he was given that interview and he's like, is it weird to be more sexually attracted to your daughter than to your own wife?
Definitely weird. Even weirder to say it unprompted, you loser.
It's and in an interview, nonetheless. Yeah. This wasn't like he was caught on camera, like the grab 'em thing or the Tic Tacs thing. This was like he's giving an interview to the New York Post and he's like pontificating out loud about this.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So that's follow-up junction.
I heard that there was no boat accidents while Trump was in president, and now that Biden is in president,
also we know that
a big boat accident.
We know that it had to have been some sort of conspiracy, because what happens before there's a major bridge collapse? Mothman. No one saw the Mothman in Baltimore.
No.
Therefore, it couldn't have been an organic bridge collapse. It had to have been done on purpose. The Mothman will always let you know when there's about to be
a Richard Gere movie. The Mothman.
Yeah, Richard Gere is in a Mothman movie.
What's Richard Gere been up to?
That's a documentary, actually.
All right.
Richard Gere is the Mothman.
Whoa.
All right, let's do a quick spoiler alert.
Yeah,
there's
baby.
So much good stuff. Have you been watching the Quiet on Set documentary on HBO about all the Nickelodeon kids getting molested?
Been watching it.
Yeah, some of it is like, there's like, oh, when I was on the set of all that, there was a sketch where we had to eat a lot of sugar, and I had a lot of sugar in my mouth, and it was gross. And you're watching, and you're like, okay, that's not that big of a deal. And then it's like, my 9-year-old daughter was sent a picture of a guy masturbating. It's like, okay, this is all right, maybe there's a little bit to this. And also the kid Drake from Drake and Josh, he oh, man.
Yeah, that's some dark stuff.
He was groomed and abused. So if you want to ruin your favorite Nickelodeon shows, go watch Quiet on Set. Also, Dune 2 is fantastic. If you haven't seen it yet, highly recommend.
Why? It only plays twice a day. It's so long. They're only playing it at 3:30 and 7:15. It's so annoying.
I got to say, I really enjoyed the first one. Second one was better. New Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So far, I think probably the greatest season they've
one
made.
Of the best seasons that they've ever done.
So sad.
It's really,
there's one episode left for the whole series.
Really going out with a bang, so keep your eyes peeled for the series finale next week. Oh, and also, Shogun on FX, which is also airing on Hulu. It's streaming on Hulu.
Ooh.
Such a great show, but also coincidentally... It paired up with our trip because we... like a bunch of the episodes take place in like this Shogun Palace in Osaka, and we
went
to the Shogun Palace in Osaka. It was crazy. Oh, and if you like documentaries, that movie The Rescue about them rescuing the Thai soccer team from the cave where they had to cave dive in and get them out. Fantastic. If you love documentaries and feel good stories, go check that out. But as for now, it's almost the end of the show, so it's time for Chuck Stuff, the Knowledge Buffalo.
Chee-hoo! I feel dumb. All that soju, I think, literally killed brain cells.
Yeah, you had soju for the first time, which is like a potato... it's sort of like a potato liqueur
I don't know how strong it is. I was drinking it by the box.
I think it's like 30% alcohol.
Oh, I thought it was like 18% alcohol. It's definitely higher.
It's stronger than wine, but not as strong as like vodka. But it's like a Japanese potato vodka spirit.
So strong.
All right. Our first question comes from Mitch in San Francisco. Mitch wants to know, Ted Kaczynski is also known by what infamous title?
Ted Kaczynski is the Unabomber?
That is correct. He was the guy with the hat and the sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, his brother-in-law dimed him out. So, Mike, if you're listening, if I ever blow something up, don't tell on me. Caitlin in Minnesota.
Caitlin or Caitlin? With a K or the C?
Caitlin with a C.
Oh, interesting.
In Minneapolis, she wants to know, the iPad was inspired by technology seen in what Stanley Kubrick movie?
The iPad was inspired by 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That is correct. And also, the iPod, a lot of people speculate, was inspired by the Monolith in 2001 as well. Okay, our third question is always a sports question because, as you know, sports is Chuck's Achilles
hoof.
Also,
Eminem is not coming to Hawaii. How many dum-dums are sharing that?
Oh. Well,
I'm going to go to Eminem's coming. Like, Eminem's not coming, dude.
I would like to see Eminem.
Yeah, but people just share stuff without doing any research on it.
All right, our third question is always a sports question. This one comes from Raymond.
What is Kahului. Tennis?
Kahului. Raymond wants to know, what baseball player is currently embroiled in a sports betting scandal?
Oh!
And we got a lot of exposure to him because he's a Japanese baseball
Kobayashi?
Player.
Kobayashi?
And he was not the hot dog guy. Not Takeru Kobayashi,
the
hot dog
Japanese
eating championship.
Name I know.
He's the only Japanese sports player.
Yeah. Well,
and he was on every channel at all times.
He's on the Padres. Or was playing the Padres?
They were playing the Padres. There was the Dodgers were playing the Padres in Korea for like an exhibition series. And we got to watch it on TV in live time because Japan is on the same time zone as Korea.
Well, I give up.
His name is Ohtani.
I never would have got it.
Shohei Ohtani. They
so
kept
his
saying
handler is
they kept
gambling?
Saying they kept saying not his handler, his translator.
Oh.
But we were watching the games on TV, and every time Ohtani showed up, they're like, Ohtani! Well, you got 2 out of 3, Chuck, and you know what our deceased friend Meatloaf always says?
Bring on the bread pudding.
And that also means that's the end of our show.
But not the end of the Biscuits and Gravy show. We'll see you next week. Same gravy place, same biscuit time. Fitz Fody had such a blast with you today, forever, and always. Biscuiteers, gravy gals, biscuit boys out there, thank you so much for being a part of our team, part of our life, baby. Woo! Stay tuned for such highbrow local education shows like The Local Show and Dead Air. And listen to us every week.
The show Dead Air, not actual Dead
Air. Yeah, well, sometimes. I know. And, of course, BiscuitWars.com, everybody. Next week, we're going to have Rhonda Hanson as a guest. We're going to do a lot of celebrity guests this month and next month, baby.
And she'll tell her all about what she did in Tokyo.
Ooh, baby.
Can't wait to hear all about it.
Can't wait to hear from you next week, everybody. And from me to you, aloha.
Pew, pew. Little kisses. Give me gravy.